Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to read from verse number 12. Amen. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, the Bible says, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, it says, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Say, the veil is taken away in Christ. Say it like you've eaten breakfast this morning. The veil is taken away in Christ. And then it says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We ask, oh God, that you may speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to read verse 18 in the Amplified Version. The classic Amplified Version. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. It says we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in every increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. Last week we saw how the Word of God plays a significant role in the life of a believer, particularly when it comes to our growth. We said in our walk with God, we start off as children. We start off as what the Bible calls babes, children. And we have got to feed ourselves with the milk of the Word of God so that we can be able to grow. And then we become young believers. We are fed with what the Bible refers to as the bread of the Word of God. And then we grow up and become matured sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, right? And the Bible says then we are fed with strong meat, because it belongs to those who are matured. And the Bible tells us that those who are matured are those who have their senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil. Are we here, Bazalwane? And this is so that we can therefore then be brought to a dimension or a level of glory where we are going to experience the glory of God, and where we are going to even glorify God in and through our lives. Are we here? Now, the Bible to us as believers, Bazalwane, is not just a history book. It is not a history book, and I want us to walk out of this place knowing that as from today, when you are going to open that book and read it, you must not interact with it just as a normal history book that is just simply giving you an account of all the past Christian events or events concerning our God. But I want us to understand that this is the Word of God. When we are looking at the Bible as Christians, as believers, we are looking at it as what? As the Word of God. That is how important it is. So when you are reading it, develop that mindset, that attitude, that you are not just reading a book, but you are reading the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16 puts it this way. It says, all scripture, say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So as you read the scriptures, as you read the Bible, know this, that it was inspired by the Spirit of God. In other words, it was breathed into men. Those who were writing the Bible are not necessarily the authors of the Bible, but God is the author of the Bible. He breathed the words that they must write down into their spirit and brought them into their minds so that they can be able to capture them for us. Amen. I think when we try to be smart, you will hear people making comments that the Bible is a white man's book that they used to give us and to take our land. And I'm thinking we are so scared of them that we give them too much credit. They are not that smart. The Bible is the most powerful book. They are not that smart that they can. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bible correctly, then you will understand land belongs to you. Okay, that's a story for another day. So the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration. It was breathed by God into the soul, into the heart of man. And the Bible says it is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, when God was breathing into men the words that they are supposed to write, he was simply causing the writers to accurately record, capture only what God intended for us to know about him and about this world and about us. If we believe in our ability to code or to write a code so that computers can function and behave in a certain way within the parameters of the code that we have developed in terms of its software, why can't we trust that God can do the same thing? That he can download a software into the spirit of man so that we are not going to go beyond the parameters of what he wants us to record and to capture. God is that powerful, Bazalon. God is that smart. He was able to download exactly the words that, I mean, if you read the Bible, you will understand that, you know what, there's no book that can be compared to that. Give it time. Just give it time and sit down and interact with this book, and you will realize that there can never be any other book that you can read that will impact you like the Bible. To this day, it is the best-selling book all over the world. Many people have criticized it. Many people have said quite a lot of things about it to try and discredit it. They said it contradicts itself, but to this day, it is still the best-selling book. I'm not talking about downloading apps. I'm talking about in a paper form. It is still the best-selling book all over the world. Are we together, Bazalwane? And the scriptures, the Bible says, they are able to make us wise so that we can be able to build our lives, because the Bible says it is through wisdom that we can be able to build. So anything that you want to build your life, you want to build your family, you want to build a business, you want to build a nation, the scriptures are there to make you wise, to download the wisdom of God in you so that you can be able to build something that is not going to be destroyed by any form of storm that may come your way. It puts it like this, that when you build upon the words of Jesus Christ, as we are going to see in just a moment, you are like a man who digs deep and builds upon a solid foundation. So if you want a guarantee in your life that you are building a solid life, a strong life that is going to stand the test of time, try the word of God, try the scriptures, try on top of everything else that you can learn and study, use the word of God as the foundation or as the basis of your doctrine in your life. Amen. Things that you uphold, things that you believe in. Don't just develop values in your life. Develop biblical values. Are we here? As Bongani was saying earlier on, the issue of cheating and not cheating is a biblical value. It's not that you're trying to be, you know, the nicest guy in the room. It's a biblical value that God has given us counsel with. And I love how he puts it. You know, when you study the Bible, don't just look at it as a book that has a list of do's and don'ts. God even gives you reasons. I mean, he says, he who commits adultery, he says he destroys his own soul. You are not trying to deal with your wife. You are destroying your own soul. Your soul is rotting, is rotting every day. As you think that you are trying to be the best thing that has ever happened in the community, your soul is being destroyed every day. So when I'm not doing it, it's for my benefit. I'm not just trying to be smart and please my wife or anything like that. It's for my own benefit. I'm protecting my own soul. Because again, it is the Bible that teaches us that when you sleep with a person, you walk away with a piece of them. That's why many of us are schizophrenic in the way that we function. There are too many souls in you. It's not you thinking and talking. There are just too many souls on the inside of you. That's why there's a concept of soul ties. Even when you're trying to voice out your own opinion, someone else is speaking through you. Hey, Jesus. I'm just tempted to say something just to provoke somebody in this. Some of us, you are just in your relationship, you are still dealing with the ex of this person. You are not just dealing with this person. Okay? You said, I must say it. That's what you said. So all believers, therefore, Bazalwane, ought to diligently study the Bible. We have got to be diligent students of the Bible and be intentional about developing the art and the science of interpreting the scriptures. Because in as much as I said this book is the most powerful book in the world, you still find people who are busy destroying their lives in the name of religion. People who are using the very same Bible. Why? Because as they study this book, they are not observing the rules of how do you then interpret these scriptures. And we find people, unfortunately, who are also standing behind the pulpit who have not taken the time to study this word, who are busy preaching from the Bible, who are busy teaching from the Bible, but instead of correctly interpreting it, they are busy destroying lives, destroying families, and unfortunately, people think that is what God is all about. Are we here, Bazalwane? So every Christian should have a good sense of biblical hermeneutics, which is the art and the science of interpreting scripture. Acts chapter number 17 verse 10 says this about a particular group of believers. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, take note, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So the responsibility of every believer is not just to take my word simply because I'm a pastor. Your responsibility is that after you have heard me preach, go back home like the Christians in Berea, search the scriptures to find out whether the things I am saying are true or not. Amen. Because these days you find all kinds of people standing behind the pulpit. Hey, the New Century Version of the same verse says the Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said and studied the scriptures every day to find out if these things were true. These days we run with things that we pick up from the internet, things that we hear, some random guy, we don't know where did they come from, where did they study, are they even diligent students of the word, and we run with what they say. As Christians, we are naive. That's why people are messing up our, just for the purposes of our presentation today, let me just refer to Christianity as a religion, even if it's not. People are busy messing up, they are messing up with the name of Christianity. Simply because we have, I'm sorry to say, mad people behind the pulpit. And that's why, Bazalwane, it's very important for us to understand that everything that we do, especially in this church, is not so that we add another program. we are trying to say we have got to be those who are going to be diligent in the scriptures. That's why after you are born again, there is a class for you just to give you the basic fundamentals of why do we believe in Christianity the way that we do? Why do we believe in Jesus the way that we do? And the iConnect groups, again, are for that purpose. So that after you've heard me preach, you have the time, the opportunity to sit down and interact with the sermon. Be able to ask questions. Unfortunately, on Sunday, you are sitting down listening to me. I am preaching. You don't have the opportunity to ask questions. Because then it will interrupt the proceedings of the service. Just for your own benefit. This is the reason why Paul actually said women need to keep silent and go and ask their husbands at home. He was not saying they must not preach. He was saying so simply because back in the days, the format of the service in the synagogue was interactive. So the one who is preaching would sit, talk, and then they will ask questions, they will interact, they will comment. But unfortunately, in that setting, then women began to be to a point that they would embarrass their husbands. That they are the ones, nyebere, and the husband is quiet. And Paul began to notice that is embarrassing to the husband. And he said, let them keep silent and go and ask their husbands at home if they have any issue. He was not saying they must not preach. It's one of the results of not studying the scriptures and understanding. Yeah, we just read a statement and we run with it without getting context. Just even the idea of reading a verse before and the verse after. Today women are oppressed. In the name of the Bible, and the Bible does not say anything about that. I agree. It did not say file and go broke. No ma batis into Zafana Bazan. Lely Brugel for Millicent. Elaban Besfazan. I will never wear that. It just simply meant something that was designed for men. That it was simply addressing that. So we take these scriptures and then we create all sorts of rules. That's why then we frustrate people who truly love God. We frustrate them with our man-made rules, and we all in the name of the Bible. I'm just going to frustrate religion out of you this morning. So after you've heard a message, please, go, the Bible says, search and study the scriptures, because this is the word that we have received from God. I love this. Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, search from the book of the Lord. Listen, if the Bible will just say to us, we need to search from the book, it means there are things that are there that are not just easy to find. It will require for you to be diligent. It will require for you to be studious. And dig deep so that you can, it says, it puts it this way, search from the book of the Lord. What is the book of the Lord? It is the Bible. And it says, and read. Eish. Oh, Bazalwan. Ay, sihlanga hlangene kangaka ukuthi sixabene nencwadi. Asifuni, baze bathi uma ufuna ukufihlela umuntu omnyama into, ifihle encwadini. And Bazalwan, we need to break that stereotype. We need to be those who are going to fall in love with wisdom. Just desire to be wise. And the basic thing to do is to start reading. It's not, well, it's going to cost you your time. It's going to it's uncomfortable to read. But you have got to do something. Read. If you are a single woman, you are listening to me now, you desire to be married one day and stay for long. Read. Yeah. Because then you are boring. If you don't read, you don't have content. You can't have a decent conversation for at least an hour. Hey, manje, bengibukela izindaba izolo ebusuku, bekwenze oh, yeah, ngibonile na. You cannot add, you cannot comment further, you cannot expand. Why? Because there's no content. You are not reading. The Bible says, search from the book of the Lord and do what? And read. Read. Not one of these shall fail. It says, not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. The Bible is a book that has been written by God. God has left us content that can sharpen our minds, that can make us to become better people. The Bible, other people say, it is a manual of life. So in other words, if I want to upgrade and improve my life, what must I do? I must search, dig deep in the scriptures. Masalan, read, R-E-A-D, read, funda, read.
Umuntu osaba ukufunda yazi uzombona uphi. Makakubhalela i-message WhatsApp or ku-SMS. Ubhala ngama-emoji.
Yeah. It's like, congratulations for this and that and that. And then they just reply with hands.
Ningathi nje bazalwane Sunday mangifika ngishaye ngama emoji. Ngishaye ngama emoji.
So we have got to do what? To dig deep. Listen to what Albert Einstein once said. He said, any fool can know. The point is to now. I said you must read. That's the first step. Because when you read, you are doing what? You are gathering knowledge, information. You just simply know. But that should not be the goal. The goal should be to understand what you are reading. In other words, the more we study the word of God, it is the more we gain understanding, which is the correct interpretation of the knowledge that we have gathered. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Because it is through understanding that we can be fruitful in our walk with God. Jesus draws a very beautiful picture in the book of Matthew 13 describing the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's like a man who sowed seeds, right? He said, some fell by the wayside, and then finally he says, and then some fell on good ground. Some fell on? Some fell on good ground. And then it says, then they yielded a harvest. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Numbers alone. Then later on, he explains this parable. He says, he who has received the seed on good ground is the one who hears the word and understands it. Hears the word and does what? Understand. Many of us, the reason why we are defeated in our walk with God, we cannot be fruitful and productive in our walk with God, it is simply because we know the scriptures, but we don't understand them. And the reason why we don't understand them is that we don't take time to engage the scriptures further, interact with them further, study further, so that we can gain understanding. Now, it is not enough for me to just preach this message to you and you think you know everything that there is to know around this subject that I am dealing with today. As a matter of fact, when I am preaching, I am challenging you to go back home and study further about what I have just presented to you. Otherwise, how else will you know if what I'm saying is true? You just are taking my word for it now as I'm quoting scriptures. The Bible says the Berean believers went back home to search the scriptures to see if what Paul was preaching, it was so. It was true or not. Are we here? So we must be intentional about gathering or getting the right material and study it. Look, the book of Daniel 9 verse 2 says, I, Daniel, understood by the books. So when I want to understand something, what do? I read, I get the right books that are going to help me understand. Now, we Christians, we have this thing called our faith, right? Which is Christianity, we are given the Bible. One, we don't read the Bible. One, asiqale lapho. Two, many Christians don't have books about Christianity, let alone about other issues. Let's start with this, your faith. And that's why we can meet a person of a different religion. They can confront us about what we believe in. Instead, we take offense. We want to be all spiritual. We want to say, nah, you will never understand. These are spiritual things. No, if you understand something, I always say this, that anything you cannot explain, you don't understand. Anything you cannot explain, you don't understand. If somebody were to come and ask you, why do you say you are saved? Many of us will just stumble all over. And the sad part, the Bible says, my people perish. Why? Because of the lack of knowledge. And then he says, further to that, the sad thing, he says, because you have rejected knowledge. So in other words, knowledge is there. Information is there, but we reject it. We refuse to study. We want to be in prayer meetings and do prayer and whatever, and it's good to pray. We must pray, but we don't do what the Bible tells us to do, which is to read, study, read, get books to give you more insight and more understanding in what you are all about. And here's what we are good at. We buy books, shelf them. And these days is even worse, because technology has become so good that there are audio books. While you are driving, you can be listening. And what are you doing? You are exercising your mind to think, to think, to think. That's our problem as Christians. We don't think. We don't have the ability to think. You look at the way... Sometimes you can look at the way we do things, the way we run churches, the way we... That's why because we refuse to think. And now, I'm blame you, I'm going to blame you. I mean... You are speaking in tongues. You are a Christian for 10 years. Some random guy from somewhere who decided to smoke something on that day, I'm not sure whether he smoked something or whatever, he just shows up. He tells you to eat grass or drink petrol or do whatever, and you do it. It messes me up. I'm thinking. That's why I'm saying I don't blame the one Oti Poos. I'm blaming you to say you have a right as a Christian that if I am asking you to do something which is not biblical, which I cannot back with scripture, which I cannot draw from the Bible and say. That's why I always tell you here, when I preach, I will always bombard you with scriptures. Why? Because I want to show you where my thought comes from. So some guy shows up and says, no, ukuzuphile, how to spray and doom. No meal. Lento in a mosquito, nempugani, ne cook na pan, killing umile. I'm chair, man of God. You're a man of God, from church, man of God. I gabi. I'm chambuguti mtambe ganjan. I respect you as a man of God, but le ongcela ukuthi ngiyenze. Ngicela ungibonise ukuthi kukuphi la mhlambe uNkulunkulu asho khona ukuthi masigula kufanele sispraywe ngedum. And then uma ungangibonisa ncike kwenkosi, ngizo noma ungangispray ka 7, it's not a problem. Patina we go deeper. And we are cheering them on, and we are doing it shows that we are not thinking. Let me close. Now the Bible where we have read speaks about a mirror of God's word. Now the significance of a mirror in scriptures points us, or it is symbolic of the word of God itself. I mean, where we read in the Amplified version, it tells us, it says, and all of us as with unveiled faces. Now, we read, the Bible was telling us that in the Old Testament, they could not look directly at the glory of God. Why? Because they were not yet sanctified. They were not yet redeemed. The Bible says there was a veil. And that veil did not just cover their faces, but it covered their understanding. In other words, they understood things to a certain degree. They saw lambs being slaughtered. They saw all sorts of things, the oil being used, the blood being sprinkled, all of these things. And they thought, this is just everything that we have been given. We have got to operate like this. But God was pointing them to Jesus. That's why then the Bible says the veil is taken away when we come to Jesus. This is where then God puts everything into perspective. He was, in other words, trying to say to the children of Israel, this is the reason why you had to slaughter a lamb. This is the reason why you had to pour oil. This is the reason why you had to do all of those feasts. Because now, the Bible says when we get to Christ, the veil is removed. Follow me, track with me. James 1 verse 23, to prove that the mirror points us to the word of God, right? It says in verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in what? In a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. So it tells us that each time I read the scripture, I am looking at the mirror. God is giving me some observations about my life, about my surrounding, about the life in general. So I must be not just a hearer of the word, I must also be the doer of the word. I want to close. So we must read, therefore, the word of God primarily for revelation, secondarily for information, and ultimately for transformation. I'm going to say it one more time. Whenever we are reading the word of God, it must not just be just another religious exercise that I am doing. Primarily, I must read the word of God, because the Bible says, search the scriptures. Why? There must be something hidden in it that must be revealed. In other words, I must read until I hit revelation concerning the subject I am studying. So I am reading the word of God primarily for revelation, secondarily so that I can be informed as a believer, so that I can have understanding as a believer, so that I can have content as a believer. But ultimately, the reason why God exposes us to his word, it is so that we can be transformed. It is so that we can be changed. Many of us, we live our lives trying to change ourselves. That's why we think that religion is about, I cannot go to God until I have changed. But God says, come to me. I have the tools. I have the equipment that I can give to you that will not just challenge you to change, but they are going to help you to change. They are going to work from the inside of you so that you can become the person that I desire for you to be. So the word of God, therefore, renews our minds and transforms our lives. Paul says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. That is the reasonable act of worship, he says. Do not be conformed to the systems of this world, he says, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, before I was a Christian, I used to think in a certain way. I used to read certain things. As a result, I believed in certain things. But once I become a Christian, the first thing that God wants to do is to do what? Is to renew my mind. Many of us, we are speaking in tongues, but our mind is not renewed. What does that mean? I attend church, but I still think like an unbeliever. I pray, but I still think like a heathen. That's why the Bible therefore tells us that as a man thinks, so he is. So no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I go to church, no matter how much I give my tithes, as long as I still think like an unbeliever, I'm going to behave like an unbeliever. I'm going to do things like an unbeliever. Why? Because my mind is still programmed by the one who was governing my soul before I came to Jesus. That's why, therefore, as a
believer, the minute I get saved, I need to get into the Word of God. And when I get into the Word of God, what does God do? He will reprogram my thinking. He will go after the things that I used to believe in due to how I processed thinking. I used to look at life, and when somebody tells me this is how life works, I believed in it. But when I get into the Word of God, the Word of God begins to expose the lies that the enemy has been telling me through social media, through the news, through the circumstances and situations of life. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make it shall not set you free, it shall make you free. Go and read it. Because there's a difference between being set free and made free. Because we have a political guest today. Let me make this political example. In 1994, we were set free. But how you think makes you free. Because the fact that many of us have experienced freedom, that's why the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. But at the smell of onions, they say, Moses, we want to go back. We want to go back. You brought us to die here. Why? Because change was difficult. Out of Egypt, they had to think differently. In Egypt, somebody brought them food in the morning. But in the wilderness, they had to organize their own food. They had to see to it what they are going to drink, what they are going to eat, what they are going to wear. They required a different kind of thinking. Many of us, yes, we were set free the day we were born again. But if only our minds can be transformed, we can be made free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But the only thing that remains is for me to know the truth, is for me to get into the scriptures and know the Word of God. Let the Word of God tell me how to run my marriage, how to run my life, how to run my business, how to run my family, how to run the church, how to run everything in my life. Let the Word of God be my coach and give me ideas and give me strategies. The Bible says the scriptures are able to make me wise. That's why the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. You see, that book you have in your hand or in your phone or in your app can change your life forever. Because it has the power to renew the way that you think. That's why, therefore, we are talking about this man in the mirror of God's Word. The mirror of God's Word. There is a man hidden in the mirror of God's Word. And his name is Jesus. As we study the scriptures, there's one thing that God is trying to show us. He's trying to show us Jesus. Why Jesus? Because Jesus is not only God, but he's the Son of God. In other words, he is the pattern son. He is the forerunner. He is the example of what we need to become. And God wants us to see him each time. That's why Jesus puts it this way. He says, in the volume of the books, it is written of me. So in other words, from Genesis to Revelation, we thought that God was just bombarding us with information. But God was simply trying to reveal the glory of his Son. From the book, that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. We need to ask ourselves that after Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they covered themselves with the fig leaves. But then the Bible says God showed up with the skin, with blood to cover them. We need to ask ourselves, where is that blood? Where's the animal that died? That's why John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says, this is the Lamb of God who is here to take away the sin of the world. In other words, it has always been about Jesus. It has always been about the Lamb of God. It has always been about the glory that is hidden in the Word. And the first thing that that happens, Bazalwane, is that when we read the word of God, we need to do so not just with open minds, but we need to do so with open hearts, with open ears, as if we are having a conversation with God. When you are reading the Bible or the word of God, God is giving you an opportunity to have a conversation with Him. If you are saying, how can I speak to God? You sit down, you open up that book, and you allow God to speak to you, because that book, it is not just dead, dry, dead pages. The Bible puts it this way: in the beginning there was the word was with God, and the word was God. And in verse number 14 it says, and the word became flesh, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Son. And Hebrews chapter number 4 verse 12 puts it this way: it says, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, when I'm reading the Bible, I am not just interacting with pieces of paper. I am interacting with the book of life. I am interacting with God Himself. I am allowing God to speak to me, because the words, He says, that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's why Christianity cannot be a religion. It cannot be a religion. It is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living God. We have access into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Was not playing when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God except through me. He said, I am the gate. This was Jesus speaking. We think it's another religion. That's why the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus. There's no any other option. Any other way will not lead you to this God that we worship. If you say then it is a different God, I say yes, it is a different God. But that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, because it was through His word that He created the heavens and the earth. So when we are studying the Bible, we are looking at the face of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, with unveiled faces, it says, we behold the glory. And the more we read, we see the glory. The more we see His glory, the Bible says, we are then transformed. In other words, there will never be a day where I will decide for sure that I am changing to do this, I'm changing to do that. But the more I behold the glory, the more I study the scriptures, the more I interact with this person, He swallows me. The Bible says, I am being transformed. I change. It says, from glory to glory. In other words, this week I am digging into the word. Next week I am a better person. Another dimension of glory. Another week of studying the Bible, another level of glory. Another month of digging the scriptures, another level of glory. And before I know it, I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I can forgive. I can love. I can be diligent. Everything that the Bible tells me. Let me tell you this. Because the scriptures, let's stand, because I'm closing, Bazana. The Bible carries with it the grace, the life, the power to help you become what it tells you to be. But when you read it as an information leaflet, the knowledge just sits in your head. You know about this. Amandebele ati maribale nyaweni. Yeah. In other words, I know I must love my wife. Hey Mara, temang lula lape mall. Amona lumsi somhlophe lo. But in a yellow bone, if at a pet, Namas won a single lama phone number work, because you thought changing depends on the information you know in your head. Somebody once said, the knowledge of something is not the possession of it. But when you begin to interact with this book as a person, as Jesus, as having a, the Bible says, as a high priest who understand what we go through, because He was tempted, the Bible says, at all levels in His life. And the lust of the flesh, the eyes of life, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
He's the man who is going to impart in you the grace to resist temptation, the power to be a man or a woman of integrity, the power in you, the life in you that will simply make you to walk away from any other thing that the enemy will try to entice you with. Remember, when the devil tempted Jesus, the Bible tells us this. It says, the devil comes, he says, hey man, you see all this glory that you see, if you bow down to me, I'm going to give it to you. Jesus did not say, hey, I bind you, I rebuke you, hey, get away from here. He said, it is written. Said, hey, if you are the son of man, if you are truly the son of God, look at you, you are hungry now. Turn these stones into bread. It is written. Said, hey, throw yourself down. And the Bible says, he will send, I'm going to quote my scriptures. It's okay, now I'm going to quote Satan, because Satan has no Bible. Throw yourself down. And the Bible says, he will give angels charge over you. Jesus says, you think I only have the information. Let me just show you that I had a conversation with my father about this. Then he switches. He does not say it is written. He says, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, I read this thing until I heard his voice. It's no longer information, it's revelation. And because it's revelation, it's bringing transformation in my life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that your word is alive. Your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating our souls, our hearts, discerning our inner man, our thoughts. Renew our minds with your word. Transform our lives with your word. May we be changed daily as we behold in the mirror of your word. Help us not to walk away from that man that you are revealing to us in your word. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to even see ourselves in him. The glory that you have given us when you saved us, when you redeemed us. Father, we pray for understanding. We pray for understanding. We pray for revelation. We pray for the hunger and the desire to study your word, to know your word, and most importantly, to love your word. May we fall in love with your word. May we fall in love with the wisdom of your word. We thank you that our lives will never be the same again. We give you praise. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.